Welcome to Bike for Life Stories. Stories from a lifetime of cycling all over the world that will amuse, teach, inspire, and make you think. Written and narrated by Roy M. Wallach. Today's featured story is Revelation on the C&O Canal. A son, a dad, a forest, and no cars for 335 miles from D.C. to Pittsburgh. A lush canopy of green forest blocked out the sun. Frogs, crickets, and turtles frolicked everywhere. A mighty iconic river lulled us to sleep in a land so drenched in history that you half expected Abe Lincoln to pop up around the next corner. It was my father-son bike touring dream come true. The C&O Canal and Great Allegheny Passage, a dirt and gravel path that travels along rivers and over mountains for an astounding 335 car-free miles from Washington, D.C. to Pittsburgh, PA. And then, "Why didn't you buy mosquito repellent or bring a tent?" Joey yelled at me. Unzipping his sleeping bag, my son was covered head to toe in mosquito bites. Huge, welt-sized ones. 337 of them. We counted. "You know mosquitoes destroy me," he cried. "I didn't sleep all night. Why aren't we going to hotels? This trip is a bad idea." I bit my tongue. I didn't launch into a tirade about the lack of self-reliance of millennials versus the independence of my generation. I just kept the faith in this spectacular journey and in another factor that has always won Joey over, the tandem. You see, tandem bikes not only shaped Joey's life, but actually helped create it. As we like to say, Joey was made in Italy, conceived during a tandem trip from Nice to Rome in the summer of 1994. It was our honeymoon. Elsa, his mom, was a dedicated non-exerciser, but she loved our Santana tandem and suggested we ride it in Europe. Our trip along the Italian Riviera and the hills of Tuscany and Cinque Terre to Portofino, Pisa, and Rome was perfect. The last night, she made a wish while tossing coins into the Trevi Fountain. Joey arrived 9 months later. Joey spent his childhood as the stoker on a $700 Raleigh Companion mountain bike tandem, riding to the beach and local trails, and to and from school every day until junior high, when he told me it wasn't cool anymore. None of his friends rode bikes or was athletic. From that point on, he stayed glued to video games while the Raleigh gathered dust. But I didn't give up. In 2010, over his mother's objections that our 15-year-old couldn't handle it, we trained for a month and then rode the tandem from Portland, Oregon to Yellowstone National Park, along the Lewis and Clark Trail. The trip was epic. Stunning scenery as we rode and camped along the Oregon Trail in the Columbia River Gorge, the Blue Mountains of Eastern Oregon, and the Snake River in Idaho. There wasn't a mosquito in sight. Of course, there was some stress. "Give me some help back there," I'd yell every 10 minutes. Joey's thumbs were in shape from years of playing video games, but not his legs. Relentless headwinds and a 106-degree August heat wave left me exhausted. Once, frustrated by our slowness on a steep hill in Twin Falls, I actually kicked Joey off the bike. "You can run faster than this," I said. Fuming, he raced me uphill on foot and won. That led to a discovery that made him forget my nagging. He liked running. Joey joined the school cross-country team that fall. The bike trip had turned him into an athlete. The next trip we took would turn him into a man. Joey and I always talked about another trip, but 5 years flew by in a blur of proms, plays, girlfriends, and college applications. Now he was 20 and pudgy. But with a month off before college classes began, I pitched my dream trip, D.C. to Pittsburgh on the C&O Gap, the world's longest continuous biker-hiker path. Back then, the route had just been completed, 335 miles of bike touring bliss. The venerable C&O, 184.5-mile national park paralleling the Potomac River along the old Chesapeake and Ohio Canal, was connected to the 150-mile Great Allegheny Passage, the Gap, G-A-P, which had been cobbled together over years from Cumberland, Maryland, over the Eastern Continental Divide, and all the way to Pittsburgh. Joey and I weren't seeing eye to eye on many things at that time, but he signed on. 5 days later, we were on our old Raleigh taking selfies at the Capitol, the White House, and the Lincoln Memorial, where we officially shoved off at 5 o'clock p.m., dodging hordes of cyclists, runners, and walkers on the C&O, we joyfully pit-stopped at Great Falls and cruised into Swain's Lockhouse, mile 16.5, a free campsite. It was a perfect start, until Joey woke up in the morning with those 337 mosquito bites. Yes, a mesh tent and mosquito repellent might have helped. So I bought him some off, humored his grousing about the hardships of camping and water pump showers, and politely suggested that he could have been more involved in the packing and not relied on Daddy to do all the thinking. He agreed, and the healing began. We happily pedaled for hours under the wondrous green canopy, with turtles diving in the mossy canal muck, Sinatra and Stevie Wonder blaring from Joey's iPhone playlist, and some fun sightseeing at Harper's Ferry. But the next day, an irritating issue arose, Joey's lack of fitness. Although the C&O is flat, my legs awoke a spasm-riddled mess, and I soon figured out why. At 180 pounds, Joey was a third heavier than 5 years before. As big as me now, but untrained, he wasn't pulling his weight. When you add another 80 pounds of bike and gear, that literally turned me into a human pack mule. "I need help back there," I pleaded. Frustrated, I thought about the dynamics of the tandem. The captain, responsible for steering, navigating, and setting the pace, naturally assumes that the stoker, unseen behind him, isn't working hard enough, and the stoker always complains that he's uncomfortable. So I said, "Want to switch positions?" Joey froze. He'd never been big enough to control the bike before, but now he was. The second he grabbed the bars, things changed, and it was remarkable. As captain, Joey was instantly assertive and responsible. He pushed the pace. He barked commands, "Stand, sit, stay on cadence." After a lifetime of taking orders, he was now giving them. And as the stoker, I was different too. For the first time, I could take it easy. No need to think too much or pay attention to bumps in the road. As stoker, I could randomly look around, spot owls in trees, notice odd markings on lockhouses, shoot kooky selfie videos. "Hey," Joey yelled out, "give me some help back there." Switching positions with me for the next 5 days as we climbed 2,000 feet over the Appalachians, Joey upgraded our trip. On our third stop at a bike shop to repair broken spokes, he ordered me to get a new wheel. "Dad, that wheel is wrecking our trip and stressing us out," he said, "and you're spending as much time to fix it as you would to get a new one." He was right. To increase the stoker's comfort and pedaling efficiency, he then insisted that we buy bar ends to elevate the rear handlebar position. Early in the trip, as the stoker, he never mentioned that his fingers were going numb. But he wasn't as engaged then. On the last day, powering into Pittsburgh along the beautiful bucolic Youghiogheny River, one of the few in the U.S. that flows north, Joey insisted that we stop for a swim. He was right again. swimming alongside the kayakers, shooting the breeze with the locals, resuscitating our overheated bodies as we chilled out for an hour like Tom and Hook on the Mississippi. It was perfect. Of all the things we did and saw on this great trip, hanging out in the yacht that afternoon was the highlight. Actually, that whole day was a highlight. We barreled into Pittsburgh at sunset, crisscrossing a half dozen of the city's 445 bridges and officially reaching mile zero of the Great Allegheny Passage and mile 334.5 of our entire trip when we reached Point State Park, where the Allegheny and Monongahela Rivers meet to form the Ohio. The Steelers were playing a preseason game in Heinz Field across the water. As we took our celebratory photos, the stadium lights sparkled and the crowd screamed, almost as if they were screaming for us. Joey, his face beaming, insisted that we go out for a nice dinner. At midnight, he said he was going to buy me a beer, his first official act as a 21-year-old. We sat and talked till about 2 a.m., not so much like dad and son, but like two buddies on an adventure, equals dispensing stories and advice. Once, calling out to him across the room as he was grabbing a couple more beers, I said, "Hey, Mark," before I caught myself. "Huh?" Joey said, not hearing me clearly. I had accidentally called him by the name of my brother, with whom I'd bike-tripped around the world decades earlier. Our relationship had equilibrated so much in the last few days that my son had momentarily morphed into my brother. I don't know if the great CNO gap tandem trip had anything to do with it, but since then, Joey's done way better in school and kept fit. Our relationship is much improved as well. He told me that I gave him more respect the moment he took the front seat. And you know what? I think that's a natural reaction, because whether it's a plane, a boat, or a tandem bike ride on an epic adventure, the captain gets respect from his passengers and from himself.